Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it's almost 5 o'clock somewhere. You know what happens at 5 o'clock today?
Oh, we start drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With our buddy Pods.
Oh, yeah?
Pods.
You think
Pozemski.
You think he's pre-gaming, the Poughkeepsie kid?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Dude, he's locked in.
We're playing the Minnesota drinks tonight, right?
Poughkeepsie kid.
Randy?
Valkyries have a playoff game coming up tonight in 2 hours, plus a little extra. Pre-game coverage with Grandy and Kevin Dana starts at 6:30. We got the game right here on 95.7 The Game.
Boozy.
Right? The Valks channel on the Odyssey app, of course. And thank you to the Valkyries, because I have just done a wardrobe change. Now, you were already wearing a Valk shirt.
I was.
But we have been issued the special Valkyries playoff t-shirts. If you'd like to see what they look like, youtube.com/957thegame, because I was able to go into my Superman phone booth, change clothes, and we're back. We're back and we're ready. It's game night.
Let's go. You got to yak in, and it's a true must win. And you know me, I'm not a huge fan of the must win unless it's a must win, and this is a must win, because if they don't win, well, we are heading to the off season. And I'm afraid for what this offseason might be like for the Valkyries.
Why? What does that mean?
It means we're probably heading for a lockout. And I don't want to be doomsayer. And
well,
this situation is very unique in American sports. And I'm just hopeful that the WNBA and the Players Association can have their right head on their shoulders,
sure.
Because what has happened over the past, not just this year, the past two or three, with women's college basketball, the WNBA, general population, it's not just the Valkyries, it's the overall, it's not only the product, it's the sport. Sports, man. The women's basketball environment, the culture, has exploded, and a lockout would be an absolute devastation.
Yeah, I don't think that would be good.
No.
This is different than, first of all, anytime there's a lockout, the fans get very upset, and if it lasts too long, they get very, very upset. But then again, when they come back, we come back around and all of those things. We get angry about it, and we go, it's billionaires versus millionaires, and we get super angry, and then we're like, cool, is the game started? You're right. This is different.
This is millionaires and billionaires against hundredaires.
Yeah.
And thousandaires.
Completely. And it's also at a very unique time as you just detailed, for women's sports. So you brought so many brand new fans to this sport. In fact, our franchise here in the Bay Area brought so many new fans to the sport just recently. And so there's a newness to all of this. And I think that that makes it even more imperative to not then start to give everybody a bad taste in their mouth, which is what this kind of thing does. It just makes everybody very cynical about the whole process, because we are here for sports on the fun side, and everyone knows it's a business, and everyone knows it's expensive, and everybody gets to figure out how much money they want to spend to go tickets and popcorn and blah, blah, blah. But when you jam that idea down everyone's throat, the business thing, when you jam it too far down everyone's throat, it really, really becomes a huge turnoff. Quite frankly, I believe that's part of what's happening with this Kuminga and Warriors situation. It's part of it. You know, because there are a lot of people who, whenever we have the conversation, they will get to the end of it and go, this is just business. And I'm like, oof. Well, if this is how you operate your business, I don't like your business. And I mean that for both sides. Like, this whole, like, who's got more leverage and who's going to blink first and all this stuff, that's fine when it's at a non-threatening spot. We've now arrived at threatening, I believe. That's kind of my point, why I really do not like this, is you've got two sides dug in. Everybody can explain both sides. We could do debate class and both sides could win. I get why Jonathan's mad. I get why the Warriors are mad. 100%. But when we get to training camp, the only message all of us are going to get is we're threatening W's. That's the only thing you're doing if this goes into October.
And that should be what both sides are most passionate about. And I know that that's what the Warriors want. And I assume that's what Kuminga wants. I don't
blame him for that. You got to look out for yours.
You do. And whether or not his order of preference is playing time one, a lot of money two, and then winning is three, I understand that, because his playing time has been suppressed. His money, it hasn't been suppressed, because that's just the way it goes when you're a rookie. You have your rookie contract, and then you go out and you get your bag, and he hasn't yet gotten his bag, and he's already won. He's got a championship, and yeah, I wonder what his priorities truly are, but if you're the Warriors, your number one priority is get a fifth ring for Steph and Draymond, get Jimmy his first, and then playing time will work itself out. You've got an older team, and honestly, even if JK is your sixth man, if he is healthy and he plays basketball and he doesn't go into a pout mode and he plays, you know, somewhat the way they want him to play, he'll probably get more than 1,600 minutes on the year, 20 minutes a game, 82 games. Ah. He's going to get his minutes. He's not going to be absolutely starved minutes-wise. If you're the Warriors, you're not looking at it like, well, you know, we want to sign JK to $75 million so we can sit him down and DNP him.
I don't think
they don't want that.
They don't want that, but I also think that I don't think that's the motivation. I just don't. And I don't know how you can make the assumption you just made. I understand what, like, that sounds like cooler heads prevailing and sensical thought process and everything, but I just don't think that's where we are. This has never made sense. You know what I mean? It's not a normal situation. And for instance, you even made the comment in what you just said. You said his minutes have been suppressed. And I know that half the audience is like, no, it hasn't. Minutes, you don't get to just go have minutes. You don't get that. Like, that's not a suppression.
I was saying that just from his standpoint.
Right, from his standpoint. Sure. But the Warriors are looking at this like, and so this is why this whole thing is so big and why it's so relatable. Because on some level, Jonathan Kuminga is, and I hope no one takes offense to this, but right, the Warriors are the big parent and Jonathan is the child, right? Because the Warriors are in charge and it's their organization. And what that means is everyone can relate to this, because a lot of people feel like they get held down by either parents or coaches or teachers or whatever. And then a lot of other people feel like, no, that's what the parents and the teachers and the coaches are there to do. They're there to make you earn what you get. And a lot of us believe that that almost automatically happens in sport. It doesn't in real life. It's It's one of the things I love about sport. Sport doesn't do with its players what the real world does, where it holds you down if you're a woman, or it holds you down if you have less resources, or it holds you down if your skin's a different color. Sports doesn't do that. If the coach thinks you can win, you're in. However, the coach gets to tell you, this is what we need from you. And if you won't do it, then nobody did anything wrong to you when you don't get your minutes.
But it's not as easy as that when it comes to...
I think it is.
Well, everything's situational. Because when you're Jonathan Kuminga and you're drafted to a team that is in a winning mode and you go out and you're on a team as a rookie that wins the championship, well, now everything changes. And if you are any of the 13 players in his draft class who've played more minutes than him, and you look at all the different names, none of them have won a championship. And just glancing at the list, none of them have actually been to an NBA Finals.
Sure.
And I don't know if any of them have been to a conference final. And so they were able to go out and get minutes and cook and get paid. And it doesn't mean that they are more accomplished or better than Kuminga. It just means that they've gotten to play more because they're either better or their situation was different, or probably both. And that's where, if you're Kuminga, you're in a spot where, all right, 4 years done, fine, I got a title, I get it. My minutes were suppressed, partly by his development, partly by the fact that they were on a winning team, partly by the fact that maybe the team and the coach didn't love the way he plays. Whatever the reason is, he's played the 14th most minutes total of his draft class. So if he really wants minutes, then you probably want to play somewhere else, because looking at this Warrior team going forward into this year, are you suddenly going to get 35 minutes a game? Of course not. You're probably going to get what you've gotten throughout the course of your career, which is about 20 minutes a game. You might get a little bit more.
You might get a little bit less.
And at times you might get a little bit less. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's what I'm talking about when I say his minutes have been suppressed. They haven't been suppressed by Steve Kerr saying, no, JK, I'm suppressing your minutes. There are a number of factors as to why he doesn't play that much.
They just are what they are. They are what they are. They are what they've been needed to be. They are what's been earned. They are what they are. I think there are games where Steve could have, should have played him more, sure, but that's nitpicking. We're talking about the larger issues here. That's what we're getting at. And I think even like when the Warriors, when we'll play for you in a second, the reason we're talking about this today, Tim McMahon of ESPN made a comment that I think is a pretty relevant one. We'll play it for you here literally in just a sec. But a lot of people are thinking that the money that the Warriors have just offered equates to, oh, they want you and they want to play you. Like, you're not going to pay somebody $24 million a year to not play you, right? Well, that's not how I see it. I don't think it changes a damn thing. I think what would get Jonathan on the floor is if he does what Steve Kerr asked him to do, which I don't, to this point, hasn't really done. Now, does Jonathan have a right to say that's not how I want to play? Sure. But then that circles back to the point that you just made, which is that he wants to be somewhere else, which is a key factor as far as I'm concerned. I think the Warriors' financial offer is because they're trying to work their way out of this situation, as is Jonathan. So that financial offer is not, hey, we want you to play 25 minutes a night here. That financial offer is based on, what does the market want to pay for you? Therefore, how can we maximize the return that we will attempt to get on a trade once we get through the parameters of all of this? Whole thing terrifies me, though, because it seems that all scenarios that lead to a preseason trade are gone, which also means to me the idea of this being a stress-free start to the year and a stress-free locker room are also gone. Because I don't know how anybody has the energy to answer these questions every night, and they will be asked every stinking night.
Depends on how it starts and how it goes. And I do take his agent at his word, and this is all through Anthony Slater and the other reports, where if Kuminga was able to sign this 3-year deal that the Warriors reportedly are offering, and if Kuminga can have the player option for year 3, the word is that he'd come in and he'd be all in on being a part of the Warriors and doing what he could do to be a good Golden State Warrior. And I take him at his word for that.
How can you?
Because I think that Kuminga realizes the reality of the situation, which is if he's making 7.9 on the qualifying offer and he holds the no trade provision, which is essentially what he would have, he knows that he pretty much can't be traded because the Warriors aren't going to trade him and his $8 million contract. They're just not going to do that. Even if he says, yeah, trade me to fill in the blank.
No, it's worthless.
It's worthless. So I do think that if I'm Kuminga and I sign for $25 million and I don't really want to be a Warrior, and even if I have the player option, I know that the Warrior is going to be much more able to trade or much more willing to trade my $25 million, and therefore I'm going to be able to be somewhere else anyway with a $25 million contract.
The action itself is hypocritical from Jonathan's agent's standpoint. Think of what we're saying here. If you give me a player option, then I'll be all in. Well, why do you want the player option? Well, so that we control where we go, which is literally the definition of not being all in. So you don't get to say, I want a player option so that I can leave, and oh, by the way, that means I'm all in. No, it means you're trying to get out. That's what this whole thing is about.
He's trying to get out.
It's a power struggle to get out.
They're trying to get him out.
Exactly.
They tried to trade him last February.
Bobby should have.
So is he supposed to be like, oh, now I'm super loyal, even though you tried to trade me for Kevin Durant 5 months ago?
I'm not asking anyone to be loyal.
Right.
I'm simply expressing that I do not believe that these two can successfully coexist. That's it. This is not a blame. This is not asking anyone to behave a certain way. This is simply me saying that I think we've arrived at a spot where two sides have completely competing interests, and I think it's crazy to think that suddenly we're just going to do kumbaya and play basketball. All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. I mean, I'll call it what it is. A little bit of an awkward transition to have now one of the teammates on, but let's talk Valks, and we'll do a little Warriors at the end. But here it is, the night that I know Brandon Podziemski and many others have been waiting for. This is very much a culmination and a coronation, but also a lot of stress because it's winter go home. So out to the River Islands guest line, BP is with us. Hey, Pods, I know this is a big, big night, man. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Appreciate you having me. I'm excited for tonight. It's going to be crazy. I'm excited for it.
I mean, talk to us about where you're at right now. Are you already in San Jose? Are you en route? What's the situation?
Yeah, I'm in a car en route. Going to be there pretty soon, hour-ish. So I'm be there for the little festivities beforehand and then the game. So I'm excited.
How do you...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You think the environment will differ because it's not at Chase Center?
I don't think it'll differ at all. I think people... it'll look a little different to start, but once the game goes, it starts rolling. Everybody's going to be into it just like how it is. I don't know the capacity of the arena down there in San Jose, but I know it's going to be fun environment, and Valhalla's going to show out down in San Jose as well.
No doubt. And, you know, a lot of the fans that go to Valhalla are from the South Bay. It's not just San Francisco, North Bay, and East Bay. It's South Bay and San Jose fans as well. I wonder about your thoughts when it comes to an elimination game mindset, because that's what this is for the Valks. You know, it's win or stay home. What's it like when you're facing that in an elimination game?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I've been able to part of, I think, three of them now. Play in my rookie year, game 7 against Houston, and then game 5 against Minnesota. And it's just kind of one of those things where you just, you know, scrap everything when it comes to the outside noise, the refs, anything that's out of your control, and you just focus on the task at hand and just give it all you got. And usually you end up playing the best in those games coincidentally. And I think that's what we'll be tonight. And I think having the extra crowd, the extra emphasis on winning, I think it'll be a good night for us.
Pods is with us on his way to the Valks playoff game in San Jose. Hey, Pods, can we get a quick review of game one? The Valks were up 28-21 at the end of a quarter and then really, really got overwhelmed. What did you see in that matchup?
Yeah, I think early on we were able to get threes off, and I think we're number one in the league at threes, something or another. I forget the stat, but we really rely heavily on the three ball, and then I think we had some turnovers there in the second and third quarters that they converted on and really, you know, swung the momentum back in their favor. And then obviously they got really good players that, you know, once the momentum is kind of on their side, it's hard to stop them. And so I think it's just taking care of the ball, you know, control what we can control and keeping them out of the transition and just making them consistent in half court. And then, you know, us obviously making shots will help us as well.
Nafisa Collier might win the MVP, and I've followed her throughout the course of this year and last year. She's a handful now, so when you look at defending a player like that, what's the approach for the Valkyries to try to not stop but just contain Nafisa Collier?
Yeah, I think it's similar to what we do in the NBA. It's just like guys like Jokic, Sengun, guys who play that center position that are a handful to deal with that are good passers and are willing to get their teammates involved. You play them one-on-one, you kind of live with what they score. And I think that's what you do with her. Obviously, you know, she's going to get her 25 to 30 points, but in the long game, is that going to really hurt you? I don't think it will. I think it's when she has her little 20 points, McBride has her 20 points, and they all kind of start feeling well, I think that's when it hurts you collectively.
Pods, there's an article in The Athletic that talked to you about all things Valkyries, big picture stuff, and there's some interesting quotes in there, and I'd love to hear you expand on it a little bit. You were talking about Joe Lacob and said, quote, "The thing about Joe is he legit loves this bleep, like he legit cares about women's basketball and cares about doing it right." Take that and expand on it if you would. What do you think that means for this organization going forward?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, they're in good hands. You know, he took a risk, per se, in buying a team, you know, with his own money and investing in it and thinking that it could be something big. And just like with us, he's a passion for it. He's, you know, some of the owners, you know, come from different backgrounds and don't really have that passion for basketball. They just do it because they're fortunate enough to do it. But Joe really loves it. He understands the game of basketball. He knows a lot about it, and he's really involved and engaged with it. And that's what, you know, I've seen through our seasons and obviously through this first season with the Valkyries. And so I know he's going to continue to do anything in his power to make the team as best it can. And when he says he wants to win the championship in 5 years, he's not joking. And I think it's something that's possible for our team.
And how much is the trickle down something that you feel on the NBA side? But you talked about Ahema and Natalie Nicasi as the head coach and all the way down through the players. How much does that permeate through the organization when you have an owner like that who is so exacting and so confident in himself and the idea of trophy hunting?
Like he's not giving me opportunity or something. I feel like we can just finish wherever and say, oh, it was just our first year. Like he has an expectation of what he expects in terms of, you know, winning, competing. And so, you know, that trickles down to the GM and her decision she makes. And then it trickles down to the head coach and decision she makes. And then the players feel that as well. And so it all comes from the top. And I think for both sides, you've seen it from the Warriors in the four championships in the last 10 years. And, you know, I won't be surprised to see it from the Valkyries as well.
Pods, I know you're a competitor, and so I get it, and you're heading to a game that everybody wants to win and all of these things. But can I ask you, like, has the season already been a success, no matter what happens tonight or Friday?
I mean, if I'm a player, I'm going to say no. But from outside looking in as a fan, I'm going to say yes. What the expectation is of an expansion team, going back to what I said, like everybody else looks at it as a great success and, oh, this is unheard of. It's never happened before. But I know everybody inside the Valkyries organization is thinking the opposite. Like, we haven't done anything yet. Like, yeah, it's cool to look back on, but we still have, you know, another opportunity to play basketball. And that's what they're going to focus on tonight. And, you know, the chips are going to fall where they may, but, I would say from a player's perspective, I'm never going to be satisfied. And so, you know, I got that trophy in my hands. But I think from the outside, you know, for us, we look at it like, wow, they really accomplished a lot this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm thinking about, you know, your time at Santa Clara where, you know, Santa Clara is not normally a juggernaut. And you guys didn't make it to the NCAA tournament, but you made it to the NIT. And, you know, it's rare for the Broncos to have a postseason berth. And so, do you see similarities between not necessarily your Santa Clara team, but in general, an upstart college team or maybe a wild card baseball team to where you get in and in the moment you want more, but looking back, it's kind of cool that you actually made it in the first place?
Yeah, I think so. But I also look at it as a stepping stone. And I know just from, you know, other players that have played against the Valkyries and the environment they experience in Valhalla, like that's attractive to a bunch of people. And I know a lot of the players will be free agents after this year from our team and from around the league. And so to put on that product and to show that what we're about in just year one without technically a star player and what we can do, I think that's appealing to, you know, free agents, ladies who are going to be free agents this upcoming season. And I know, like I said earlier, Joe and the front office are going to do whatever they can to get those best players in the building. And so, like I said, you look at it and be like, okay, we lost in the first round, but then you also can look at it like the product we put on, it's appealing to others.
Pods, are you worried about the offseason and all the collective bargaining?
For the WNBA?
Yeah.
I don't know if worried would be the word. I think at the end of the day, my whole stance on it in any sport would just be, the players are producing the product, they're producing the entertainment, the value, and that's where the majority of the money should go. I understand there's nuances and things like that that go with it, but at the end of the day, if there's no players playing, there's no game in any sport. So I just say whatever they're owed.
Yeah, I do think that. I mean, he's right.
And this is a good tap dancer. It sounds like somebody's doing a tap dance when that happens.
A little
happens
bit.
With
and,
our, yeah.
You know, and
we'll see if we can get Pods back for a couple minutes.
Yeah, the CBA expires in the end of October, and players had been wearing at the All-Star game, pay us what you owe us.
Pay us what you owe us.
Pay me what you owe me.
That's tough.
Shout out to Rihanna.
Yeah.
You know, don't act like you forgot.
All right. Do we have Pods back? Pods, you got us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. go ahead. Sorry, we missed the back half of that answer.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, in any sport, there's no game, entertainment, business, whatever it is, without the players. And so I think that should always be a priority in any sport because they're putting out the finished product and they're getting fans to buy into what they're doing and all that. And that's where the money really circulates from. And so whatever that looks like for them, I think that should just be given what that is. I don't know what that is, but I know they're going to come to an agreement somehow.
All right, Valks and Lynx, 7 o'clock tonight, SAP Center San Jose. Game's right here on 95.7 The Game, Odyssey app as well. Valks channel and our coverage is going to start officially at 6:30. And Pods, Valkyrie superfan correspondent, is on his way to the game. But a quick minute on the Warriors here on your way out the door. Training camp's about to open, Pods, and we know there's still a lot of roster questions out there for your team, but what do you think is going to be different this year for the Warriors?
I mean, that's a very open-ended question, but I think there's a lot to look forward in a positive light, just what we were able to do post-All-Star break and into those playoffs with relatively, now that you look at it, kind of the same roster. Might be little changes here and there, but relatively the same roster. And I think there's great confidence among us and the staff in the front office that we're...
I would really like to get the end of that answer if it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I 12 days till Media Day. Yeah. So, you know, get in there and you could ask them again at Media Day.
Yes, we can. Yeah. I'd love to get that answer tonight if it's possible. So, guys, see if we can get Pods back and then we can... Then we can wrap it up and move on.
See if we can't fight one off and you know, stay in there, hang in the at-bat. And,
yes, no, Grandy, no, not right now, not yet. All right, 888-957-9570.
It's like watching Grandy fish, which I've never done, but, you know, Grandy, he's got one on the hook, and just when you think he's going to bring it in the boat, he's trying to reel it in, and it swims further away, and... You know, he tries to reel it in, and it may be getting away, and the line hasn't snapped yet. Grandy's trying to land this fish.
Watching someone
on
fish
the boat.
is
And you've done it a lot.
But it's kind of one of the worst things ever. It's kind of one of the worst things ever, watching somebody fish. You might just be watching somebody stand there for hours.
No, but my point is when you have something on the line, yes, and they're fighting the fish, and that's kind of where, you know, Grandy and the great Ken back there are doing it, and maybe they've got the fish on the line.
All right, let's try. Third try. Let's see. Pods, you good? You got us?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we got you. We heard a good portion of what you were saying about what might be new, and yes, there could be some slight tweaks to the roster. Are y'all talking to each other yet? Have you guys had some conversations with teammates? And what is that conversation like right now due to the, I don't know if relative uncertainty is kind of the word, but like, obviously there's a lot to still get figured out.
Yeah, I think,
there we go. We got you.
I think there's a great confidence among the group that with whatever we're dealt with in terms of roster moves, we're going to be able to handle, and we got three good veterans that have been through a lot that are going to help us with that. And I know how much our young guys have improved in the offseason and are ready to contribute and help win and really take that next step as players, leaders, et cetera. So there's a great confidence among the group, and I don't sense just from being around that there's any, you know, worry about the whole situation, getting contracts done, whatever that case is, because everybody's just controlling what they can, and that's all you can do at this point and just move forward with it.
Pods, what jersey are you wearing tonight?
I'm debating it. I think I might break out the Caleb Thorne All-Star jersey.
So, nice. Wait, debating it? What, did you bring a suitcase or something? What, like, do you have a bunch of them?
I bring a few. I bring a jersey that a fan made for me. My name. I got her All-Star jersey, and then I've got Tammy Fake Benley's jersey. So I'm in debating. I got 45 minutes to decide here. So
that's pretty awesome. And for those of you not on YouTube, the curls are absolutely on point tonight.
Yeah, they are.
The hair is game ready for sure.
Yeah, I had to do it. It's playoffs. It's go time.
Let's go.
Are you in the first row as usual? It's a different arena.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So we'll get a good look at you, man. Go get a dub, man. Have fun.
All right,
that's perfect way for that to end. All right, there goes Pods. Valkyrie's superfan correspondent, and like Darren Ruff was once upon a time, he's on the move.
He is.
Yeah, so.
And I asked him about the jersey, because if you saw on YouTube, he appears to be wearing a tank top already.
For sure.
I didn't know if he was already, like, jersey ready, if he had a jersey on. That's why I was asking. But, yeah, if you come with two or three, it's like a pitcher where, you know, you don't know if you're going to go with the fastball today. Is the changeup going to be hidden? Is it going to be my my slider? What's going to be my pitch tonight?
We're going to have to tune in to find out.
No doubt.
We're going to have
7
to tune
o'clock.
In to find out. Yeah. All right. You know, Pods, he's going into year three, and he knows how to handle a question at this point in his career. So he says he doesn't sense any stress. And I'm sure right now there isn't. I'm sure if he's working out with the guys or getting on the phone with the guys, right now they're going to have faith that this is all going to, quote-unquote, work out. But I like that. That is, as a fan, that is my concern. I don't even really see necessarily the path for everybody to just be on the same page when we come back. And one thing that I mentioned to you earlier, and this is, again, this is my understanding based on what I've read and the conversations I've had with people who are much more tapped in than I. Whenever we go, hey, like, Jonathan means it. He might play on the qualifying offer. I think there's another piece to this that not every fan knows. I think that that idea is very, very kind of napalm. Like that
it's a little bit of a middle finger
is
what it is.
It's a little offensive to both sides. In other words, that is the bleep you, we can't get this done option. And I know people are pros and all of that stuff, but I just have the hardest time understanding how that is then going to turn into a locker room and a team concept that's all on the same page and pushing for victories. And similar to what I said about the Niners and Cardinals this weekend and whether or not Purdy will play, I'm just not of the mind that, it's October, November, and December basketball. It's okay if you lose half of them or whatever. You make your money in the second half. This is the West. This is the West, and I'm just not in a spot right now where I think kicking games is going to be okay. They got to be at full strength for the whole year, in my opinion.
Well, you don't necessarily have to kick games just because things are unsettled, and I think about the Jordan Poole season, which was unsettled. Jordan Poole gets an extension. Jordan Poole gets punched. Jordan Poole plays the entire year. He averages 20 a game, and you make the playoffs. And so that year was not a complete disaster in terms of results, and it didn't end the way you wanted it to end. Certainly, I'm not going to pretend that was a dream year, but that was a year that was mostly kind of broken, and it was broken from the start, and Jordan Poole at many times was dribbling to the beat of his own drummer, and that year, I'm just looking at the game log, they started out 5-8, not great, and it was a little bit uneasy and unsure, and Jordan Poole played all 82. Jordan Poole was in a spot where he had more gravitas on that team. He played more minutes. He had a bigger role on that team than Jonathan Kuminga would. And yeah, you got to the end of the year and things broke apart. He got traded and you've gone on to not do that much more since he left, but they were able to navigate a season where you still went to the playoffs.
I want to comment on that because I think that we are... I think that we're miscasting what happened that year in many, many ways. First of all, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And we're talking out the Warriors and the Kuminga drama because there's some comments made today that I'll play for you in just a second. But I remember that year you and I were doing this show together. Yep. It was not a successful year. Like, I know we can look back on it and be like, well, they made the playoffs. Well, again, first of all, similar to what happened last year, you scratched and you clawed to get into the 6 seed, number one. You lucked out by getting a 3 seed that were a bunch of babies who have never been to the playoffs before.
Much like last year.
Similar, yes, but not as good of a team, in my opinion. It took you 7 games and a Herculean performance by Steph Curry.
Much like last year.
Also, a speech getting on the bus that would suggest that people were not on the same page by saying, don't get on the bus if you won't follow me. And then lastly, and I think maybe the most important point, you couldn't win a road game all year long. Like, there, that was one of the worst road teams that's ever made the playoffs.
11-30.
Yeah, in the history of the NBA. And I very much think it speaks to the kind of stuff we're talking about today, which is team unity, people on the same page, people wanting to be around each other, people pushing for the same goal. They did not have that year, and it hurt them. It absolutely hurt them. And that is my concern this year. I don't know how it wouldn't. And again, that was the basis of the commentary from Tim McMahon of ESPN on NBA Today when he was asked about Kuminga and the Warriors.
Tim, I'll start with you. How have the Warriors handled this Kuminga situation, in your opinion?
Awkwardly? I mean, how have they handled Kuminga's entire career? Steve Kerr doesn't want Kuminga. Kuminga doesn't want to play for the Warriors, in part because he knows the coach doesn't want him. Listen, Shams is talking about there's going to be a divorce eventually. Let's stay together for the kids. I've lived that. I lived with my ex-wife for a year after we agreed to divorce for the kids. Let me tell you, it was not fun. There are going to be chemistry issues.
Yeah.
Put it mildly. This is going to be a disaster if they bring back Kuminga. There's SGA. He might as well be HTE, human trade exception. And he's going to be, you think he's going to want to pass the ball? You think he's going to want to play team ball? He's going to want the ball. He's going to want minutes. Steve Kerr doesn't think he fits. I wonder what they think they can get that's better than Malik Monk and a first-round pick.
Now, the comments there at the end, I have mixed feelings about, because he's not wrong. Malik Monk and a first-round pick, that's a somewhat attractive idea. I don't think it's the perfect fit for the Warriors. It also leaves out that they would need to throw in Moses Moody or Buddy Hield. So I'm not necessarily a fan of that either. I don't know what's out there. I have to admit, kind of a shortcoming of today's conversation. I don't have a solution for you. I don't think there really is one. We've arrived at a point where there isn't a good solution. But I don't think that this is in a good spot for the Warriors to stack wins. And I do not have faith that these guys are going to be able. This is not the kind of thing that I think that you can package and compartmentalize. I don't believe. So
I actually believe that you can do concern. That. You've got an unbelievable communicator as a head coach. You've got two, if not three, veterans who are capable of compartmentalizing. Jimmy Butler was able to compartmentalize multiple times in his career. Steph Curry has spent the entirety of his career with Draymond Green compartmentalizing in many ways and tolerating Draymond Green and some of his eruptions, Draymond Green's suspension. They compartmentalized the year where Kevin Durant and Draymond Green had their whole season worth of a battle.
They pushed for the same goal.
But you're still talking about compartmentalizing.
But they're pushing for the same goal.
And they did it with Jordan Poole when they won more playoff games that year than they did this past year. So for me, you're talking about professional basketball players. They've played with Kuminga for 4 years. I don't believe that in year five, Kuminga is going to suddenly be a different player than he was
last year, or
the year before.
That's not the premise.
And they were able to compartmentalize last year.
Yeah, it's a totally different premise.
It's a completely same premise.
It's completely different.
It's the same guy, and it's the same real issue.
Right, but he had no power to do anything about it at that time.
And he still doesn't.
And it was nowhere near as public. And, oh, by the way, let's not act like last year worked. He didn't play.
And what happened?
They won without him.
Exactly.
And then when he started playing, they didn't.
Right, it's because you lost Steph Curry.
Well, no, it would also, they were a worse team when he returned, even with Jimmy. This is all just facts, and you don't, like, I know how hard it is to say this stuff we're blaming Jonathan. We're not. No one is. I don't think. The simple fact is, Steve Kerr has said it 1,000 different ways. His job is to win, and the team was at its absolute best last year. Data, fact. Absolute best when he didn't play. That was their...
But he also said that with
that
the training
best
camp,
record.
They have the ability to make it work. And if you don't think that he's telling the truth...
He was going to try.
Right. And I believe that they can make that work.
Yeah.
And they got media day in 12 days.
And what else could he say? And that was prior to
You're taking his words as fact in one instance, and then on the other instance, you're saying, what else can he say?
No, the fact I just uttered was their record. Their record. I have nothing to do with what Steve said. I'm talking about their record. Fact is it was at its best last year when he didn't play basketball. The other fact is the comment he made about training camp is, I do take him at his word. He'll try if he's forced to, but that was also prior to 1,000 articles, interviews, comments, and standoffs. And here we are. Like, we're not at a spot now where it's just like, ooh, you know, is there a contract offer? Should they keep JK? No, there's $75 million on the table, and Jonathan is still saying no. So, like, and if he ends up on a qualifying offer, we've got free agents who are sitting there, have no idea necessarily how this is all going to play out. To act like both sides aren't wildly frustrated with one another is disingenuous. You know this. We all know this.
Well, there's frustration, and then there's just the reality of business. I don't think that Al Horford is sitting there on pins and needles waiting to have this decision be made. He's just waiting for it to be done so he can be a Warrior, and it's the same thing with D'Anthony Melton and maybe the same thing with GP2. I don't think that there is frustration on that front. Honestly, you're looking at a situation with Kuminga, and whatever he signs for, it'll be a number that they can still make these other things happen. And if Kuminga is holding out for that player option for year three, the team's either going to budge or they're not going to budge. And if they don't budge, then he plays on the qualifying offer. And if he does that, and it is, I kind of agree with you, it's kind of a middle finger. Yeah, well, then
totally.
The team will act accordingly. And maybe then it's a series of DNPs and it's a long string of, you know, Kuminga, you'll play when we really, really need you. But otherwise, we're going to give you the Dario Saric treatment. And if that's what Kuminga wants, if Kuminga wants to go to that option, the nuclear option, well, then you're making your bed at a certain level.
Right, but don't you feel like...
And if the team's better without him, like you're saying, if they were patently better without him last year, and you're not wrong...
They were.
Well, then be patently better without him for 82 games.
Oh, well, I mean,
I dare you.
If that was the case, then just send him home, which I don't... Again, I don't think that's what anyone wants. Like, don't everything you just described, don't you feel like that's a distraction?
It's already a distraction.
That's my point.
What's not a distraction is you cave in and you say, fine, player option for the third year, you get $75 million, you have a press conference, and JK says, you know, I'm just happy. I'm happy to get my money. And they ask him about his role, and he says, you know what, I'm... You know, after a lot of reflection, I'll play the role that they need me to play, blah, blah, blah. They make nice, and then the Warriors immediately, when able, they start shopping him, and they look to trade him like they did last year. That honestly...
Is that what you're advocating?
That's what the rat on the table is, brought to you by AdCo Pest Control.
You want the Warriors to give him the player option for year three?
Yes, so that he can be under contract, so that his salary slot will be, let's just say it's 22. I don't think it would be 25, 25, 25. It'd probably be 22, 25, and 28.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So
how
let's just pretend it's that. It's an escalating situation. And I, you know, we've done enough.
Yeah,
we've done it enough.
We've
beaten that horse to the ground. But if it's 22 this year, all right, you got Kuminga at 22. Now Dunleavy's thinking, cool, I can work with 22. Before the deadline.
It's a less attractive contract to trade with a player option.
But it's less attractive than 7.9 for a guy.
Well, that's not tradable at all.
Well, it is if he says yes.
Yes, exactly, so, which makes it not tradable.
But,
I mean,
well, it is if he, like, if the Lakers are like, cool, we'll take him, and Kuminga's like, yeah, I love LeBron.
Yeah.
It's like tradable. But if you sign him to a three-year deal, even if there's a player option, big deal. If Kuminga really is as good as Kuminga thinks... $28 million in year three is going to be a bargain.
Well, but they, like, again, I don't think the Warriors are looking at this in terms of the way Jonathan thinks. I think they're looking at it the way they think.
I think they're looking at it as, what can we do to get something out of this?
Remember that all of the contracts have been set up purposefully and perfectly to expire in 2 years, and the Warriors want max flexibility. So to just ask them to turn a year three deal at a fairly significant number into a player option is changing their books in a rather significant way. And I think it's just, it's a little flippant to be like, yeah, just do it. It'll be fine. Like, it's not necessarily fine. And again, we are talking about a player who missed 30 games from injury last year. And if he does get hurt again, you get stuck with a contract, especially if it's a significant injury or if things don't go the way, as you say, the way Jonathan thinks they'll go. If there isn't development, if he doesn't get better, if he's not that next guy who can take over when the others are retiring or whatever, like that's not nothing. You can't just flippantly be like, that'll help us get it done, because you don't know that there is a trade out there. You can think it, but you don't know that there's a trade out there in February.
There's a trade out there in
February.
You don't
know that.
Well, there's a trade out there now, and there was a trade out there 2 months ago.
But a trade that has to work for you.
But yeah, you didn't like it.
Yeah,
so
it has to be. It has to be something that works for you.
Okay, fine. But if you have him at 7.9, there's no trade out there, and then he walks in April. So you sign him for whatever you can, even if it is with a player option. There's a trade out there.
I'd be so surprised if he does that, wouldn't you?
I would not be surprised if they did that. If they got to a point where...
I mean, as you said, it's a bad idea. It's a terrible agent.
Well, right. I mean, for the agent, that's not a bad idea. To get $75 million guaranteed...
No, the QO. The QO.
Oh, no. That's already...
Do you honestly think that, like, I do not think he'll do that. I'm not...
He was Cam Thomas playing for a team that needed him to play 35 minutes and needed him to cook... Go ahead. The only risk for Cam is injury, and it's a risk, but the upside for him is, look, I'm going to go average 24 again. We'll go 22-60. Who cares? I'm going to show everyone how good I really am, and then I'm going to get the bag. Okay, if you're Kuminga, you don't have that. Your team's not going to let you play 35 minutes and shoot 20 times a night. So for Kuminga, yes, that's a bad, bad gamble. And, you know, for Josh Giddey, similarly, he was like, you know what? I kind of like this team. I'll take 4 years and $100 million, and I'll be a Bulls, and, you know, we'll see what happens, and they could trade me like OKC traded me, whatever. I got $100 million. So if I'm Kuminga, honestly, if I was Kuminga's agent, I would say, you know what, JK? Forget the player option. Let it be a team option, because they're going to trade you. You won't be a Warrior.
Right, but then,
you won't be a Warrior past February.
Right, but then they trade him wherever he, like, that's the thing. They trade him where they want to trade him, and then he's stuck in that place for 2.5 years if he doesn't like it. And no,
but
I don't.
But he'd be stuck here for
yes,
3 years,
I don't,
right?
I don't feel bad for him, because that's not the way it works. Like, if you want to be traded, then, like, it's always funny to me when people Anthony Davis this thing. Like, I hate that. Dame Lillard tried it. Hey, Portland, trade me to Miami. No. You want to be traded? Say you want to be traded. Then we'll trade you. We'll trade you where we want to trade you.
Right.
We drafted you. We've paid you. We developed you. Like, we get to trade you where we want to trade you.
It's different, though. Those guys have already made $300 million.
Exactly. But they still try to do it. They try to, like, tell you what their destination is. And there's a little tinge of that here with this player option, team option thing. I think Jonathan wants to have some say, like restricted free agency, in where he ends up. And the Warriors are like, sorry. We need to open this up to the whole league and get the best deal available.
Right.
And I don't think that's unfair. I really don't.
Well, even if there was a player option for year three, the Warriors would have a year and a half to trade him where they want to trade him. So it's not like it's totally hamstringing the Warriors if it was a player option. And if you're Kuminga, if I was his agent, I'd be saying, look, let's get the $75 million. Your option, their option, who cares? They're going to trade you.
Yeah.
We both know that. They've already tried to trade you. The bird in the hand is worth far more than two in the bush, because if you play on the qualifying offer and you get eight, let's just say that the Warriors play you like they did last year, which is, you're a sixth man, you're a ninth man, whatever, and then you go out and you're a free agent and you get 3 years and $45
million?
How much money would you be giving up?
A lot.
Just because you want to have that freedom.
Yeah, a lot. But I think it's a big deal. The player option, team option thing, I think is a big deal.
No, it's a big deal to them, obviously.
Clearly. I think the Warriors think it's a non-starter. And it does make it a less tradable contract. Let's go to Yancey in Oakland. Hi, Yancey. Thanks for the call. What's up? You're on with Willard and Dibs. Hello, Yancey.
Yancey.
Is Yancey up?
Is Yancey riding with Pods to the game? Go on.
Okay. Give us a call back, Yancey.
Yeah, come on, Yancey.
957-9570. During that conversation, Manny Machado, Grand Slam, Santiago, 6, Mets, 2, bottom 5.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Nothing.
Thank you.
I mean, I'd rather be two out than three out.
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna.
Two out
like,
is three out, but we won't get
like
into
again,
that.
I'm gonna keep one eye on it. I'm gonna keep two eyes on it. I'm just not gonna let my hopes get up.
Again?
No.
You've already buried him twice. How many times can the guy bury a team?
Yeah, that's it. And to be real with you, I don't know where you were on this. My hopes didn't really get up even, you know, last week.
Friday night.
I was excited Friday
Grand
night.
Slam,
yes.
My hopes got up.
I mean, yeah, okay, for 15 hours.
For a night, yeah.
Yeah, for 15 hours.
And it's not only because they won, they beat the Dodgers, but they did it like that.
Yep.
And you started to think about, like, Joe Morgan in 82. You started to think about Brian Johnson and other great moments in Giants history against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And for a moment, for a night, you started to think about, what if? What if this Patrick Bailey right-handed hitting walk-off grand slam, what if this actually turns into the latest Giants over Dodgers moment?
And then you have dinner the very next night, and the Giants put up a four spot in the bottom of the first.
Right.
It was at that moment where I'm like, all right, I'm all in, and it lasted 42 minutes.
About right.
42 minutes. So, yeah, whatever. You know, we had a weird night. But, no, I'm not letting the hopes get up. But, sure, go Pods. That's fun.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
So you know how newscasts, remember newscasts?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Like, I used to work on a bunch of them.
6 o'clock and 11 o'clock, they'd come on, they would do the news. I mean, I think on some level they still do, but...
I used to work for Kron 4, back when... was the nice. Sports guy, Gary Radnich,
yep.
Tom Sinkovitz, Pam Moore, your anchors, and I was running the teleprompter, and I would work all the way through the 11 o'clock show, and I was working two jobs at the time, and so I'd get to the 11 o'clock show, and your boy would be tired, and I'd be in the B block running prompter, and I'd start nodding off, and then occasionally I'd fall asleep, and I'd hear this, hey, and I'd look over, and it was Pam Moore basically MFing me to wake up and roll the prompter forward. Pam Moore.
That feels like a fireable offense. What?
I was tired.
Yeah, I get it. But, like, dog, dude, we're doing a show.
That's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
And so occasionally she'd have to go to the hard copy script. Meanwhile, in Menlo Park, there was a jaywalker who, and I'm like, and I'm just slow rolling it. And she's like, move up, move it up, move it up. So anyway, newscasts.
Like the news director never reprimanded you or anything?
I mean, I wasn't like out cold. There was like, you know when you fall asleep and you're in a chair and you start to like.
Yeah, do it all. It's like, it's called watching any TV show or movie.
Totally. And you start to do the nod.
Oh my God.
Bobbing and weaving.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Pam would finish her lead into like, and we go live to, and I mean, Emerald Ye has the story. From Los Altos. And she'd throw the tape and she'd be like, hey, hey. I'd be like, wait, who's he? And I'd look, she'd go, move it up, move it up. And I'd look at the prompter and be like, oh, Schmidt, I'm a couple stories behind here. I need to scroll this baby forward. Anyway, newscast.
She wouldn't get like mad at you after it was over?
She was 30 something years in. It wasn't the first time that somebody botched the prompter on her.
Like, who cares?
And she was. Anyway. She is, I don't want to was her because she still is with us. Wonderful, wonderful anchor, lovely woman. So no, she would never like dial up the news director and say, get this bum out of here.
The reason I asked though, because you're familiar with a kicker story.
Oh yeah.
Right? And no, it's not about Jake Moody.
No, and I love the tease too. Coming up next, a puppy who did a mischievous thing in Danville. That's next. You know.
Yeah, well, you want to know how the Dodgers got Roki Sasaki?
Kicker?
Toilets.
Come on.
Stan Kasten.
You should have teased it going in. Coming up, a story about a pitcher.
Coming up.
And a toilet.
Want to know how the Giants shot at Sasaki, got flushed? That's next.
That's a four.
Stan Kasten, president of the Dodgers.
While we were recruiting Roki Sasaki, we were deep into the planning for modernizing our clubhouse, which we had begun planning for the year before when we were recruiting Shohei. And it was late in the game, and Roki asked the question, are you going to have, you know, fancy Japanese toilets? And for any of you who have ever been overseas, particularly Japan, you know, these are real works of art and works of function. And I said, well, why do you ask? Is that important? He says, oh, yeah, that's really important. And I said, oh, yeah, then we're having them in there. And so overnight we changed our plans, and now the entire locker room has these fancy Japanese toilets, which come with, you know, consoles, and he knew how to work them. And our first day back after our trip, I walked him into the bathroom. I showed him, we've got the Japanese toilets, just like we always planned. Right.
There you go. They had consoles, and he knows how to use them.
Yeah. I mean, consoles. So you've got a toilet, maybe it's a urinal, and you've got like a TV and video games. What are we talking about?
I don't know. Probably got a bidet in there.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what a fancy Japanese toilet is, but the Dodgers have them.
I know what
and
we
I'm
have here.
The Giants should probably have some fancy toilets.
Probably should have.
Yeah. Sasaki, Dodgers.
Right.
Yamamoto, Dodgers. Otani, Dodgers. Dog, get me some toilets in Oracle Park.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Arson Judge probably didn't even ever get to that point to where he got to gaze at a urinal. I know what we have here. We've got two toilets and a urinal, and we've got signs in the bathroom. Signs, everywhere signs.
They got taken down.
I know they did, and I wonder why.
Yeah, who took them down?
Did we send, and for those of you not in the know of the bit, there was a sign that was emphasizing those of us who stand and deliver to focus on our accuracy.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we didn't, as a collective, get to the point where our shooting percentage was high enough to where the signs came down.
Same signs that they put in the kicker room for the 49ers. You need to shoot straighter. And he didn't, so they fired him.
We're tired of having there be a mess around here,
I think,
Jake.
Yeah, I think we did, and so the signs came down.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and so now we've got Eddie Pinero.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's earned Eddie De Niro yet when you come out and you miss your first kick.
Don't miss an extra point. But his field goals, he's perfect on field goals.
Okay.
And they split the uprights, Dibs. They were right between the eyes. They were right down Broadway.
Yeah.
In a dome.
That matters less to me than the fact that they just go through the uprights.
Yeah, you got
to
go through.
Yeah.
You got to make your kicks. So, anyway, another opportunity for him to audition for the rest of the year this weekend at Levi Stadium.
Okay. And
weather's supposed to be wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it sure is wonderful right now. And
yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona coming in. We don't know yet who the Niner quarterback will be, but we'll get more into it tomorrow, and we can maybe reach out to somebody connected to Arizona to get a sense of, you know, what do they have, especially defensively? Because the big question or concern I have is this Niner run game. John Feliciano, don't call him Joe, joined us yesterday and said, you know what, the Niners are, man, they're so close to a great run game. They're going to break one. And then earlier today, we were talking about it, and the sense is, you know, we're close. We're just one block away. Kyle Shanahan, we're close to really breaking it and having a great ground game. So I wonder about Arizona's front, their run defense against a Niner run game that I'm being told is just maybe one play away from a really big one.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, Arizona's got a pretty good overall DVOA so far this year. I'm going to poke around a little bit to see what I can find with regard to the specifics of the defense.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like, you know, they were doing well. Carolina was not moving the ball, but then all of a sudden they were. And Carolina made a big charge at them in the second half. First week against the Saints, I think, was a similar kind of a style game that the 49ers played in New Orleans as well. It was a one-score game, and the Saints were able to do some things. They weren't great. That's not a great offense, but, you know, they were able to function a little bit. I don't think it's a great defense. I don't think they're a pushover either. You know, they're a typical NFC West team. Right now, I would label all four teams good, not great.
Yeah, and if
that's
you look,
how I would label all four of them.
You look at all four teams, they've scored 43, 44, 47, and 47. They've given up 28, 34, 34, and 35. So the range between points scored is 4 and points against is 7. That's how tight these two teams have been in their two games. And, you know, the Rams with the best offense, the best defense, the best differential, but all four teams in the positive. And that's the only division to boast that.
Okay, I have them. I have total defense rankings through 2 weeks.
Okay.
Which is a very small sample because it depends on who you played and all of that. The 49ers right now rank 6th in the entire NFL in terms of total defense rankings after 2 weeks. The Cardinals rank 21st.
Okay.
And when you consider that their two opponents were the Saints and Panthers, I would argue that's not a great ranking because you have not faced an elite offense yet. No, the Niners haven't either.
Yeah, and total defense, is that based on yardage?
Mostly on yardage, yes. Mostly on yardage. The Cardinals, both teams have allowed 4 touchdowns so far this year.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I mean, 2 games in, and you know, you can always kind of throw the records out when you've got divisional games like this, but conditions should be good, and the big key to me is the run game, because James Conner last year was a real handful. Kyler Murray's been tough to stop. And on the other side, this Niner run game is yet to really get rolling. And so, like most games, that's kind of where it gets solved in the run game.
Grandy, what are you about to do on the radio?
Well, we're first going to hear from Greg Cosell, who joined you guys a few hours ago.
Yeah, nice.
That's a very good Cosell. That was not a drop. That was Dibs doing his Greg Cosell.
Right.
So we're going to hear that. And then at 6:30, I'm going to join Kevin Dana, who's going to be live from SAP, to get us ready for Valks and Lynx, which tips off at 7. So Kevin and I will do a little bit of a pregame for that beginning at 6:30.
Let's go, Valks. Let's keep this season going, man. Here we go. Game 2. In San Jose tonight. And all of that is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I can't wait.
All right, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grady, for Ken, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.